Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.
Yesterday night was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Crystal Palace demolishing Manchester United by four. Was it 5 or 4, Shegu?
Four
goals to nil.
This is
four. Oh my goodness! What a game of football!
Four blasts of the
football. What a game of football it was. I mean, predictions on Monday Night Football. You know, Tony Bittoy said Crystal Palace was going to win.
Mm.
Victor said Crystal Palace was going to win. You said a draw.
Yeah,
you know, but we didn't foresee that it would be that kind of scoreline. You know, and what's going on at Manchester United?
You know the funny thing. After the game, I went on YouTube, and I don't want to call them deluded. I don't want to call them out of their minds. We still see some Man U fans defending Ten Hag and blaming everything on the players. Yes, we all know the players are clueless, inept, and I'm sorry to say, useless. But who puts them together? United have the worst. This is the 13th loss of the season. The last time United lost 13 games, it was 35 years ago. The last time Crystal Palace scored up to 4 goals or more against Manchester was in 1972 when I was 10 years old. And the manager then was Frank Farrell, and he was sacked the very next day. And you still have United fans saying that fellow should keep his job? What are we talking about?
But you can't keep sacking managers.
It doesn't matter.
You can't keep sacking
it
managers.
It doesn't matter. You know, Real Madrid kept on sacking managers. You have Bayern sacks managers. You keep on sacking to get it right. You have to sack him. Look at the grotesque, inept. Look at United's season. Chelsea's above United. Chelsea that we used to laugh at.
What does that mean?
Chelsea's goals difference is 11 to United's -5.
Chelsea's way better than United. Always has been.
Now your mouth.
Always has been.
Or whatever.
Always has been.
And yeah, in Jackson, you have a fantastic striker.
No, so we don't. You can take Jackson and give me.
Jokes apart. Let's call it Newcastle that fell off a cliff as well. So what you have now, I think, is Newcastle, Chelsea, and you know, it's crazy, and people.
No, but how does a manager come into the fray? You know, qualify the team for Champions League football in his first season when nobody thought it was possible. Did he win a trophy? Did he not? Yes.
The Carabao Cup. Yes.
Yeah, he won a trophy.
Yes.
And then the next season, you know, everything just capitulates, and that means the manager has a dream. You know, he has a destination. But rather unfortunately, you know, it just hasn't happened this season the way it has not happened for a few other teams as well. I think throwing away the baby with the bathwater doesn't really solve the problem, you know, to be honest.
I don't think.
That's why I think that the players need to stand up, need to take responsibility, you know, and share part of the blame. It can't always be about the manager.
Nobody said the players have been abysmal. They are overpaid, overhyped. In fact, most of those players, the most highly paid players in the Premier League, are stealing a living. That's not in doubt. But at the end of the day, who takes the blame when the club is so shambolic? It's the manager. That guy has to go. But if you like it, like, let them sack if the... Because I think these guys have come into... It's like they don't have a clue either. Ratcliffe and his gang.
I thought you said Ratcliffe was a new man in charge and he was going to bring about some kind of change. What happened now?
No, what you mean? Yeah. It's sure that if he doesn't sack Ten Hag, then he's clueless. It's as simple as sack the manager and clear all those players out. No, but it's okay. I don't even know. The only reason I even said draw yesterday is because Victor had gone for draw. I mean, lost. I said, let me be different. Mm. But I didn't expect. And I'm saying this loud and clear. Please, Manchester United, have a little pride and just give Arsenal 3 points on Sunday to aid them in their own.
But that's a funny thing, you know, against a I was gonna say a big team, yeah, but I mean against a respected squad,
uh-huh.
You know, like Arsenal, you kind of, there's a sneak thing, there's something inside of me that tells you that United will stand up on that Sunday.
I strongly believe it, and
my prediction for that game will be United win.
All right, mine is Arsenal. Those boys, my baggy.
Anyway.
Please, before we, you know, today I'd like to... I heard from one of our oldest and most valuable listeners, oldest both literary and figurative, Mr. Drujai Adigun, who's been following us literally from the beginning of the program, the Clip for Nigeria back in the day. and all those old clubs. So good morning, sir. Thank you very much for calling in. And he asked me, and I'm doing this on your behalf. He said, the great Peter Fregene, 77 today, the 7th of May.
Oh,
oh yes. So, and he's still quite unwell. So we wish him a speedy and a divine and speedy recovery. And, you know, we wish him all the best. So happy 77th birthday to Peter Fregene. And this message, congratulatory message comes from Mr. Drojai Adigun, who has been with us through thick and thin. And we very much appreciate you, sir. So happy birthday, Fregene.
Okay, all right. Happy birthday to you, sir. If it's your birthday today, we celebrate with you as well, yes, and wish you all the very best. Yes,
amazing.
Despite the hardships that we're facing in the country, you know, there's still good reason to be happy, to be faithful, to be hopeful. Yes, yes, all of the good words coming forth.
Yeah, to be faithful. Yeah, very important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a 0.5% increase, rather 0.5% levy on cybersecurity coming from the CBN, but what majority do not realize, and I had to research that, is that this was a law or a levy enacted in 2015, and the National Assembly made that law, and it's now being propagated in 2024. So it's not the government. This is a global law, really, that Nigeria has just recently also applied as far as our banking sector is concerned. So it's not a government thing. You know, just get people straight on that particular story. Even I was a bit confused and I lambasted the government, but it's not a government thing. All right, moving on. We're going to talk about issues bordering on Nigerian football. We did hear the story about Rivers United. We talked about that here on the show. And incidentally, Rivers United played their scheduled game against Remo Stars yesterday. The game was supposed to have held on Sunday. It was shifted forward to Monday. And Rivers United lost that game in Ikenne by 2-1. So what exactly does that do for their ambition to play continental football next season? But that's a matter for another day. Right now, we are going to hook up with the man at the helm of affairs as far as the league body is concerned. That's talking about Mr. Agbenga Elegbeleye, who joins us via telephone. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hi, Shaz. Good morning. I'm fine. Are you?
We're good. Shegun Agbede is also in the building with me as well.
My honorable chairman, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Shegun.
I do. I full ground.
All right, Chairman, let's get straight into it. I hear a little bird told me yesterday that you were busy playing golf. You know, how did that game go?
Yes, yes. Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. I'm playing off at the cap 9, so at least I easily demolished my competitors.
You know what they tell us? Golf is only for the elite. So I guess you're the 1% of the 1%.
Those are playing golf.
They say it's for the elites.
Well, I will believe the theory because.
Anyway, have fun. It's another form of exercise.
And if you're a member of a golf club, again, you get to play like some kind of yearly levy, and I'd be up to 2.something million or more. So we're running away from it. So. But so basically, mainly for the elites, I believe so.
Okay, let's go straight into football. A couple of days ago, last week, you know, we came across a letter written by Rivers United, you know, stating very clearly that their intention was to walk away from all football related activity in the country. Majorly because of fixture congestion, didn't do them any kind of favors whatsoever. What's the major reason for this? Why did Rivers United write this particular letter before we go into other matters around this situation?
All right, let me start by saying Rivers United accumulated six, unplayed matches, right? Because of their engagement in the continent. And I will say the league body actually indulged them a lot because when you look at it in the back, even by one CAF Champions League back-to-back, they never accumulated that kind of number of matches, up to six matches. The fact is that when Rivers United was in the continent, sometimes they have like 10, 12 days gap between their next continental match. For them to play their league match, they will say, no, and we are preparing. They will write to us this and that. And I don't tell Davis, you know, with me, at a particular time, let's give them this latitude so that when they fail in the court, we don't want them to give us that kind of blackmail that we are the one that caused their failure in the continent. Mm. Give them time to rest well. And again, we want Nigeria to do well in the continent. We are looking for the possibility of winning the continental ticket again after years of not getting it. There were true.
Hello.
Look at when they can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, I hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you. So okay. Now when they left the now we need to play all the outstanding matches of Rivers United, six of them. We have to suspend the league for a month because of Rivers United. And the reason is, if we for which we are trying to say we should start them, let them start playing the remaining matches. At that time, we will know clubs that are relegation bound. It's very easy to get involved in match fixing. And we want to avoid such thing. We say, okay, Rivers must play their matches now. We have to suspend the league because of them. Now, this issue of the letter they wrote, they had Manchester United. It's the same Rivers that asked for the match to be scheduled for Monday. Now, that Monday during the match, that was restored, so they couldn't finish the match. So it was now the next 8 a.m. the next day, which was Tuesday. Instead of Rivers United to contact the league, ask for a shift of date in their FA Cup match, which was supposed to be Thursday, they asked for a shift of date to Friday. And knowingly that on Sunday against the Monsters, they didn't inform us. Only for NFF to grant them that waiver, okay, go and play your match on Friday instead of Thursday. Then Rivers now came to us on Wednesday, wrote a letter late evening on Wednesday that they cannot play on Sunday again, that the match be fixed for Monday. But we have broadcast partners, these Star Times. That was a very funny scenario that played out. Kwara United had a match on Saturday. They wrote to us that the government of Kwara was going to use their stadium on Saturday. Okay, government owned the property. We have no choice that to shift the match to Sunday. But the fact is that Saturday refused to go and show that match because they have already prepared for Saturday. They were there. They had other engagements on Sunday or for that important matches. They left. Only for us to discover that Kwara United actually lied to us. The stadium was free that Saturday, but they were trying to dodge a live match. That's the implication. Look, see what we face in the league. Now come to Rivers United. You don't want to play your match? Even before we in the board to debate what we should do to Rivers United case, already they came out with a letter that they're not going to play anything again. That was on Thursday. Meanwhile, they wrote to us on Friday. Now we didn't give them the chance to shift their match. And okay, since you say I'm not going to play all matches anymore, anything football anymore, you have a match on Friday, which is FA Cup, and you wrote to NFF that the letter you previously that was written to them previously, asking for permission to engage the opponents on Friday instead of Thursday, you said that letter is equally cancelled. Then I read it and laughed. Okay, if you don't want to play football anymore, it's your business. So we wait for them. We want to see if they will play on Friday. If they don't play on Friday, that means already they mean not getting involved in NDC football anymore. But surprisingly, they went to play on Friday. Yet we didn't answer them. Now we met the board. For that kind of thing that Rivers have been doing, we have to sanction them. We moved the match because sometimes, unfortunately, I cannot show you their message to us. They said they are going to compile all our breaches at the end of the season and impose financial sanctions on us. Mm. And it's as a result of things like this being done by Rivers United.
Hello?
And again.
Hello?
Let me try.
A bit of making connection.
A compelling argument.
Yeah. Connection issues. We'll try and do it by our regular call. Yeah, if that works. Nigeria.
you know, for me, we discussed on Monday Night Football yesterday, and Victor was quite angry about at the league for shutting down the league for a month. Tony was like, could understand the players mentally and physically tired for having to play so many games in such a short time. But now to find out that it's Rivers United.
All right, we're back. Sorry for the interruptions. Just communicate, the connections are terrible. Yeah. Yeah, you were talking about Rivers United and the.
Let me repeat what I said.
Yeah.
Rivers United had a match on Monday against Bayelsa United.
Mm.
That match was distorted by rainstorm. So it was postponed till the next day, Tuesday morning. So when Rivers United played that match on Tuesday in the morning, they knew so well that their next league match was Sunday against the Monsters. The next Sunday off, that was the day before yesterday. They never could cancel the league, that they were looking for a postponement. But they went straight to NFF to ask for a shift of date from Thursday to Friday, their FA match against one team from ABBA, or one of the other low teams. They didn't tell us anything. Otherwise, they should have gone through the league. But Rivers United didn't do that. When the NFF granted them the waiver that the match has been moved to Friday as requested by Rivers United, that was done on Tuesday. That same Tuesday, they wrote to Rivers United. But only for them to come to us late Wednesday, saying that, yet they have a match on Friday, so therefore they cannot play on Sunday. Meanwhile, this league was postponed because of, for a month, because of Rivers United.
Mm.
We gave them the latitude to, because they were playing continent, we gave them the latitude. So again, we are very flexible with them so that they don't claim that we are the one who caused their ouster from the continent. I always tell the business with me, please, sometimes they will have like 10, 12 days gap between their next continental match. But they will refuse to play their league match, claiming that they need to prepare, they need to prepare. And I told the business, leave them. Look, we want our team to do well in the continent. At the same time, we don't want anybody to give us a blackmail that we're the one, caused their problem. That is why Rivers accumulated 6 matches. Therefore, when we now discover that it will be very bad for us to wait in 34 for them to start playing their accumulated matches, at that time, clubs that are relegation banned may likely be selling matches, get involved in match fixing. We now say, therefore, let's suspend the league for 1 month for Rivers to finish all the outstanding matches. They were against it, but we didn't bother. Now, Rivers still playing the same card of trying. You cannot be a club and be a regulator at the same time. We get that latitude that time because of their continental engagement. That is over. Now they wrote a letter that they will not play league anymore. And they will not play anything, get involved in anything football anymore. And I told my board members, which even this DM of Rivers United is one of the 3 representatives of the club owners in the NPFL board, that, okay, if they don't want to play football, it is their choice. Rivers United belongs to Rivers State government. If the governor so say, we are not playing the game, he has the right to withdraw his club. It doesn't bother us. Now, they announce it. The only thing is this. They have a continent, they're going to have a FA Cup match on Friday against one NLO club in Abba. If they don't go, that means they really mean not getting involved in business again, football again. We will not respond until after that Friday. So eventually they went to play on Friday. We now met to say, okay, it is not the officials that matters to us, but the welfare of the players themselves. We cannot finish a match on Friday, travel Saturday, then play another one in Kenya on Sunday. But that's okay. It is reasonable for us to let the match be played on Monday. About Rivers United, we have to face sanction for what the officials have been doing. So the club and the board have resolved to sanction Rivers United for what they did in disrupting our program, in disrupting match our plans, and causing frictions in our fixtures. regularly. Now, we have decided to sanction them. That has been decided. The board has taken such decision. Then the match will be moved to Monday instead of Sunday because of the players. Then we have to discuss with starters and broker partners and the production crew. And they must start to price for themselves. But they too are asking for the compensation because the match on Sunday will give them crowd to come in. But Monday, people will go to work. So that is it.
So when you talk about sanctions for Rivers United, what exactly is the board looking at?
Financial sanctions.
Financial sanctions.
Yeah, financial sanctions.
Okay, but yes. But the damage that this does to the league in itself, and what it does, it also sets a precedent. What if another club, which eventually will happen, qualifies for the continent, and they use, you know, the, for want of a better word, tactics of Rivers United to also aid their cause? When does it get to stop? Because rules are rules, and those rules need to be adhered to. What exactly is the NPFL doing to make sure that the rules are stuck with? And you can't just find a way to walk around it.
Charles, I want to tell you this. Rivers was not the only club in the continent in this last season. They only managed to get to the quarterfinal. Other clubs were in the continent before they were eliminated. No club in Nigerian Premier Football League give us that kind of stress. No club does it. And the reason why we indulge Rivers United is because we feel that if Nigerian club can win this continental engagement, let's make a sacrifice if it's possible for them to win. But when they lost at quarterfinal stage, it is on us for us to reach them to play their final, played matches. We will not allow such by whatever situation necessary. And I can tell you confidently that no club will even do that. We had clubs that play continental last season and this season. No, they don't give us such stress. Only Rivers United was indulging in such practices. Like them just say it. Other clubs don't do it. They don't engage in it.
But is it enough just to institute financial, to find the clubs? Because, I mean, most of these clubs are run by government anyway, and these funds are easily accessible, and it's easy to just pay those fines. Can't we find another way of punishing the clubs, for interrupting the league?
When we say financial sanction, that was just the decision of the board alone. We have asked Davis and Owen to invite the official of the club by looking at our framework or that punishment that is equitable for such any clubs. And that division has written to them, they will be invited, and again, there will be further punishment, further sanctions, I will say.
How about Kwara United?
We have already sanctioned Kwara United, and I think what's left for them to go to appeal. Sanctions have been given to them already, so we didn't take it line low for what they did. It was a big embarrassment that reaching, because they don't want a live match. And if you are dodging a live match, that means you have a sinister motive. So we have already sanctioned Kwara United, and they have given notice of appeal. That is left for the NFF to treat that case. We have done our own.
All right, talking about live games, most of these clubs obviously don't realize, that when a game is brought live to your venue, additional funds actually come into your pocket. They probably don't realize this. As far as that is concerned, the money's paid by the broadcast's right owners. That's talking about Star Times. How much of the money's paid have actually gone to the club sites? Because from what I hear, the clubs have only received maybe 5% of the funds available, and I hear the monies have been paid as well to the NPFL board.
Well, no, that is incorrect. Let me tell you what happened. The our corporate partners, the GTI, twice gave 100 million naira to the club. For instance, before they started last season, they gave 100 million naira to the clubs. And before they started this current season, another 100 million naira to the club, which it provides that. By the time
100 million or 10 million,
100 million naira. I mean, 100 million naira to clubs. twice, that's 200 million to the 20 clubs. Jointly, 200 million.
Jointly?
Jointly.
So that's 10 each now?
Yes, 10 each.
Yeah.
Yes. And Thiago said this money will be deducted from whatever social money. That's just, they pay the, and I told the clubs that the next one, they would be, it was a loan, not free money. Said from what was given by StarTimes, from the park club.
What's it that StarTimes brought
us? StarTimes paid, no, our agreement with StarTimes is public. It's 1.7 billion, 1.06 billion. So 5% of it goes to the law. And the money was not paid once. It was paid twice by StarTimes. So 45% of that money goes to the club. And from the 45% of the money goes for the club, GTI deducted their own 200 million. That is it. So what, the balance is what was given to them.
Okay, the money deducted by GTI is for the running of the league. Am I correct?
No, the money deducted by GTI was the money borrowed by the clubs. The 200 million naira given to the clubs was a loan, not free money.
Isn't that the
GTI deducted it?
Is that money not their right?
Right of the club?
Yes.
No, never, not their right.
So what do the club? So what do the clubs then? What do the clubs then get for playing in the league?
What they get from playing in the league, for instance, the money given by GTI, StarTime, should be part of what they get from what they get for playing for the league. But GTI borrowed them 200 million, so it was a loan. So GTI is the one paying all the referees. GTI is the one doing this and that. It was an agreement between us and GTI. You recoup your money gradually. But when we started, there was no sponsor. That is it.
So, Chairman, so basically what you're telling us now is that GTI is not sponsoring the league. They are just acting as a financial facilitator, basically. That's what.
Yes, GTI is not a sponsor. They are corporate partner.
Oh, they're corporate partners.
They're
right.
Investment.
So what they've done is go and source money.
Yes.
Okay, so the money is put down.
That's our activities. That's what they do. Mm. With the agreement that over the years, they will be recouping their finances gradually. That is it.
So what's the extension of this particular deal with GTI? Since you say over the years, how long?
The agreement was for 10 years.
10 years?
Mm. Yes, 10 years.
Okay. Let's talk about government participation, because everyone talks about how, you know, the league needs to go private. You know, we usually make mention of the likes of Leventis, Abiola Babes, you know, and all the whatnots. In your opinion, because, I mean, you've been at the helm of affairs as far as football in this country is concerned, is the league able to survive without government participation?
Well, definitely the league will survive without government participation. But I will not again say that government should 100% ass off football. Well, for instance, that we have three clubs who are private, of private ownership: Remo Stars, Sporting Lagos, and Doma United. I'm very sure that the next season probably will have one more to come from the NNL to the Premier League. They keep moving up. But what we want is this: some private clubs, all right, getting into the continent, you will need more funds, more finances to be able to prosecute African Championship, like CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup. What I now discover in recent time is that mainly the state government spend more to prosecute continental matches, probably for some reasons, but some private clubs probably don't have such capacity. It is, now, recently, that we discovered that. Now you see that most clubs that go further in continental engagement are still government-owned clubs in recent time. So I will suggest a situation where government divest and just be a shareholder in the clubs they currently run, and let it go public, let that be private sector participation. Let the clubs be jointly owned by government and the corporate world. That is much, much better.
Okay. Before I let you go, what exactly is the end goal of the NPFL? You know, what is it that we hope to attain, you know, 5 years down the line?
All right, thank you. But when we came in, we discovered that our league was not even rated by CAF at all among the best 12. We were rated among the best 12. But currently, we've entered the rating group. We're rated now as number 7, 8, or thereabout. But we were not rated before. So the aim of the current board is to make our league perhaps the best, to rate among the best in Africa in the next 5 years. If we cannot be the best, we should be among the first 1, 2, 3 in Africa. That's our aim. And that's why we are trying to see that first our major problem is the officiating officials. We need to get our referees to toe the line of standard best practices in world football by being on impartial judges. Most matches are the best you can do as a league body. A single or two or three referees can really raise that in terms of achievement that we are trying to get. So that's why we are focusing more on officiating. And again, standard of the facilities of clubs. That's why we disallow 6 clubs from playing in their home turf, because it wasn't good enough for what you call the Premier League match. I mean, their games. Then thirdly, we're trying to look at the welfare of footballers themselves. We want to peg the minimum a football player in the Premier League should earn to a reasonable standard where they can at least live well and support their family.
What's that reasonable standard? Sorry, Shagun. What's that reasonable standard? Because from what I know, 150,000 naira is the least an MPFL player can earn. Considering the situation in the country now, what will that standard now become? You know, and how when will this be put into law?
Or let me rephrase that, honourable. What is the average pay of a Premier League footballer now, averagely?
Average pay.
Now, what MPFL can't determine that.
You might have an idea of how much clubs pay them.
I think what's the least an MPFL player can earn? I think that's you know.
Yeah, the least is 150,000, which we met at the end of this season. That by next season we will upgrade it. But that 150,000 is no longer. But there was a time we discovered that the 150,000 benchmark. Some clubs are even playing below it, because you won't know some players who start earning below. They were sent to earn below just to join the club. Mm. Now, to compile your account now, it's part of our club licensing. We want to see where and what you are paying each player. It has to be through banks. So whatever you are transferring to a player will reflect in the bank account of such player. So we now know that some are even playing below the 150 benchmark. Now we will even upgrade above the 150. So from next season, because economic situation in the country now is not same as what obtained 5 years ago.
So what are we looking at? What are we looking at?
I will not be able to say a specific figure because the board needs to meet and take a decision on it. Already we have decided that the 150 is too low, that we have to up it. We may go as far as 250, as 500, as minimum. But I alone will not be able to say it now because it's subject to debate when the board meets at the end of the season. Now we'll send it to the clubs during the AGM.
All right, Mr. Agbenga Legbele, head honcho at the MPFL board. We thank you really for talking to us today on the show. We wish you all the best.
All right, Honorable Chairman, thank you very much for shedding some light on the Rivers United Buhaha. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.
Nice
to continue
there.
Okay. Well,
Nigerian football.
I don't know, you know. I had a lot of sympathy for Rivers United, but it's kind of waned over the last 30 minutes, you know, considering, because I thought, it makes perfect sense for the MPFL to want to give a Nigerian club representing Nigeria on the African continent, as far as I'm concerned, as much support as possible. But for Rivers United to have pushed and pushed and literally refused to play their games, when they had enough allotted time, which is, in fairness, what you said, that rules was rules that they should play, I think it smacks of a bit of hypocrisy now to put out such a letter after the MPFL has bent over backwards. If everything Honorable Legbele has said is accurate, then they literally wanted to have their cake and eat it. And they do, that scenario whereby if the league is on and they're playing their games, there could be the temptation for clubs who as safe in the MPFL to sell their games. You know, let's call it spade a spade. These things do happen. So I think Rivers United should really get themselves together, look at themselves in the mirror, ask themselves some very harsh questions. Do they want to play or not?
Mm.
You know, so
it's rather unfortunate, to be honest.
It is. I think Rivers United should really check themselves. I mean, I sympathize with them, but I said my sympathy has really waned. Because in this case, I think that they're actually trying to, as I said, have their cake and eat it. And then credits and kudos to Remo Stars, who this first time they're beating Rivers United in 10 attempts and has made the MPFL table very, very interesting. The top six sides are separated by only 7 points, and I think the top three, Rangers is sitting on 58 points. Let me check out the league table there. There's 1 point between Rangers, Remo Stars. I think Remo Stars 58, 57, yeah?
All right, while the interns are checking through that for you.
Thank you, Jerry. Okay, so Rangers is top with 58 points, yes? 58, 57, Aimba 56. Then Shooting Stars. Is how many points? 56. 55, okay. And who's fourth?
50. Okay, the people can't hear you, so you need to speak into the microphone so they can hear what you're saying, so please.
So on top of the summit is Enugu Rangers with 57 points after 32 matches played. Remo Stars still on second with 56 points with same matches played with Enugu Rangers. And Enyimba sits on the third position with 55 points. Shooting Stars, 52 points. And Lobi Stars, 52 points as well.
Okay. Okay, so there's a three-point gap.
Yes, between... 2 point gap between Enyimba and Enugu Rangers. So just 1 point differentiates the first, second, and third.
Okay.
Yeah, I do remember that Enyimba were docked...
2 points.
Docked you know, 2 points.
Docked, yes.
Yeah. That's a matter of... That's
that
a different...
That was very expensive 2 points.
That's a different conversation altogether.
Maybe we should have gone there with that. VR, where there's no VR.
All right, let's quickly run through what is the news hound for this morning before we take your messages. The NOC has announced an extension for the submission of memoranda as part of a review of the NOC constitution. The initial deadline of April 30 has been extended to May 10, 2024, and the committee was tasked with reviewing and updating the 23-year-old NOC constitution, which has been in effect since 2001. Five-time Nigerian champions Rivers Hoopers will be aiming to maintain their unbeaten record at the ongoing 2024 Basketball Africa League, where they take on US Monastir in Tuesday's encounter at the Dakar Arena. The Hoopers secured their second straight win in the tournament after beating Ami Patriotique Rwandese 86-82 on Sunday, with hope to pile more misery on the Tunisian side, who have suffered consecutive losses. In boxing, Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk's rematch is set to take place on the 12th or the 13th of October, according to the Saudi advisor behind the heavyweight's upcoming first fight. Fury and Usyk will clash on the 18th of May in Riyadh, crowning the first undisputed heavyweight champion in 24 years. It was previously announced that each boxer has a rematch clause, with the date of the second fight unknown until now. All right. Victor Wembanyama had a year like no rookie in NBA history. Others scored more points, others grabbed more rebounds, others had more blocks, others made more steals, but never had there been a player who in year one of his career posted all these averages: at least 21.4 points, 10.6 rebounds, 3.9 assists, 3.6 blocks, and 1.2 steals per game. Remo Stars recorded their first ever win over Rivers United as it came from behind to defeat the Port Harcourt-based club side by 2-1 in a rescheduled match day 21 of the 23-24 MPFL League season on Monday. Prior to the game, Remo Stars had played 8 matches, losing 6 and drawing 2, and have now moved to second position on the log with 6 points and 1 point behind league leaders Enugu Rangers. Nigeria's under 20 women's team, the Falconets, will know their group opponents for the upcoming 2024 FIFA under 20 Women's World Cup in Colombia. The Nigeria side qualified for the competition after getting the better of Tanzania and Burundi in a qualifier. FIFA on Monday announced the 5th of June as the date for the draw of the competition that will be held in North America. Super Falcons defender Ashley Plumter has begun her journey to recovery as the Nigeria national team gears up for their upcoming 24 Olympic campaign. The 25-year-old defender took to her social media page to announce that she had undergone successful surgery on her right foot and is now focusing on a full recovery. Super Eagles coach Finidi George is expected to meet with the officials of the Football Federation in Abuja later this week and could finally unveil his assistants. According to the reports, the meeting is expected to firm up his contract details, believed to be a one-year deal with an option of another year based on his performance at the next Africa Cup of Nations. The meeting will also be the chance for him to pick his assistants, after which he would be expected to resume work by submitting the list of invited players for the World Cup qualifiers in June against South Africa. Erik ten Hag admitted that Manchester United's season reached a new height after they were thrashed 4-0 by a rampant Crystal Palace. Two goals from Michael Olise helped Oliver Glasner's side record their second biggest victory ever against United as they followed up their win at Old Trafford in September by completing the double. West Ham United are closing in on the appointment of Willian Lopetegui after confirming that David Moyes will leave his post as manager when his contract expires at the end of the season. And finally, PSG lost 1-0 to Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League semi-final first leg, but that does not mean they will go all out to score twice in normal time on Tuesday, according to Luis Enrique. The Ligue 1 champions overturned a one-goal deficit against Barcelona in the quarterfinals, winning 4-1 in the second leg, but PSG are prepared to take the game with Borussia Dortmund to extra time if required. And that is how we round off the News Hound. Do we have a break upcoming? No, we do not. So, reactions, Shagun?
Ashley Plumter, I really wish her well. Solid, redoubtable player for the Super Eagles. I think her mere presence in the dressing room gives the women a lot of confidence, and she never fails to excel whenever she dons the green and white jersey. So, we wish her the very, very best. Wish her a speedy recovery. She has about a couple of months to get ready now. When early May, first week of May, the Olympics kicks off, I think, mid-July. So she's got just about 2 months to recover and hopefully be match fit. And we'd really love to see her go to a really tough group. Although, as we saw from the World Cup, anything can happen. We just need to go out there and participate and represent and hopefully get to the knockout stages. So, yeah.
What I really like about her is her ability to play anywhere in the back four. She's a very versatile player.
I don't like to use utility, yes, versatile player. I like her. And apart from her, her attitude is second to none. You know, she's willing to, you know, put in a shift wherever she is on the pitch, and she'll be invaluable in a tournament.
Not wanting to sound racist, but for a white woman, it's commendable.
Yeah, that is racist, actually.
That is racist. But she's white.
Yeah.
She's white.
Yeah, but she has Niger blood, and that Niger blood is, so that's absolutely brilliant. For Finidi and the NFF, they're giving the barest minimum contract they can get away with, but hey, it is what it is. I'm happy he's got the job in the first place.
Finidi has no experience, so giving him a one-year contract, which will determine if they can extend the contract, is a good deal.
Whatever.
I'll give him a 2-year or 5-year contract.
Whatever. But the major thing is the green with contract, no matter how bare.
It's not bare.
In my opinion, it's bare.
It's not bare.
To me, it's bare. But it's okay. He's got the contract. What they say in law, the possession is 9/10 of the law, so he's got the chance to do that.
There's an interesting story where he's quoted to have said that he doesn't want to work with his former teammates, Amunike or Daniel Amokachi.
Then so be it. If he doesn't want to, this is sink or swim time. A coach lives and dies by his decision. So,
who do you think he should be picking as an assistant?
I don't know. Whoever he wants.
No, who do you think? I mean,
I don't care. It's his job. I'm not going to psychoanalyze him or anticipate what he's going to do. he doesn't want to work with any of his former teammates because there could be ego clashes. They might not get on. These things are a delicate balance. And number two, is of essence, is something that he's willing to walk in his boss's shadow. Some other guys.
Now, do you think he should pick an assistant from the NPFL, or does he go pick somebody from outside the shores? You know, anyone, because if he does pick someone from outside the shores, he will have to pay that person from his pocket.
Well, the major thing is he needs to pick. We're talking off air yesterday with Tony when we had him on the show. He needs to get a very decent crew around him. He needs a very good number two that, you know, be able to whisper in his ear, some that maybe even more experienced than he is are running these kind of things. He needs a team analyst, a spotter, with someone that can read games and all that. He needs a lot. Every international manager needs that. So I think the onus should be on him to say, you know what, this is who my team is. I don't want someone that is going to try to rock the boat, someone that's trying to quote-unquote, outshine me or try to, try to lessen my authority with the players or whatever. So I don't know. He has to be something he can work with. Champagne, that's a very decent. Well, I mean, look at these most major teams. Who knows Pochettino's assistant in Spurs or Chelsea? Who knows Klopp's assistant in?
That's club football,
no. No, I'm just saying. Most times,
at least for some national teams around the world, we know their assistants.
No, most
like times the Belgian national team, we know it was Thierry Henry.
Yeah, well, that was because he was a stellar player in his time. You understand? Most times you don't know the number two. Most times you don't.
He's got to produce. Bottom line.
Of course he has to produce.
The thing is, the truth is, and it has to be said, you know, we cannot afford not to qualify for the FIFA World Cup.
Okay, if we don't qualify, the world won't end.
No, it will not end, but we have to qualify. And I don't want to hear excuses of like this, like what you just said. Okay, if we don't qualify, the world will not end. No.
Just, I see people like,
no, he has a job, Shegu.
You say, okay, I'm happy that...
Yes, I'm happy that he's got the job. But because he's got the job...
If you brought Oyibo...
Tell me one Oyibo that hasn't qualified for a major tournament. Tell me one.
One Oyibo.
Yes, tell me one. Tell me one.
What Oyibo? So Oyibo.
Tell me one now. It's not the case. Don't stutter. Tell me one.
Nobody's stuttering. Give it to a Niger person. Let him do it.
It has been given. He has to qualify Nigeria for the World Cup. There are no excuses.
Superficial support. So it's obvious that
it's not superficial. Even if Amunike, that's not true. Even if Amunike had gotten the job, he must qualify the Super Eagles for Nigeria. So right now, whoever has the job has to qualify the country for the World Cup. And if he does not, then you move on to somebody else.
Well, till then,
that's the bottom line. We can't make excuses. It doesn't matter, Shegu. As soon as you step into that office, the pressure is on your shoulders, and you must, because even he has said it, that look, that qualifying for the FIFA World Cup is a must on his side. He has said it himself.
Given. Everybody knows.
So if he doesn't do it, then you move on and get somebody else.
Which is failure.
I'm not anticipating the big difference. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm saying that the bottom line. Bottom line is that he must get the job done. And excuses will not be entertained. He qualifies. Everybody else benefits as well now. Everybody benefits. He's got to do it. There's no compromise here at all.
Yes, I hear you.
It's got to be done.
Hello, our first caller
on the show. Good morning. How are you? Good to have you join us.
My name is Chief Darlington.
Chief Darlington, how now?
Give the team volume. Abeg,
good morning, Shegu.
Morning, Chief.
Go ahead, Chief. Time is fast running out.
Charles.
Mm-hmm.
From the one I backed Shinobi. Even when many said we didn't apply for the job, I appreciated Shinobi over and above Amunike.
Yeah, but So if what are you trying to say, Chief?
He's been given the job.
Yeah.
Right now, let's be positive about his stay there. Let's give him all the moral support he will need, particularly from the media, whether we like him or not.
That's a giving.
Let's give him that support that will help him succeed. Shegu, Uncle Shegu.
I didn't hear you, Chief.
You remember I told Tash that Chelsea we qualify for Europa.
You talk about
even when we were down on the position.
Yeah, but it hasn't happened yet.
It has happened, sir.
That's happened. I go qualify.
It has happened.
By God's grace.
Nothing that will remove that will.
Yeah, yeah, wait first. It never happened. When it happens, we can celebrate.
Now, what for you, Charles? This is your bad benevolent. They carry for Chelsea. We go come meet you.
Only me, bad benevolent. Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United. All right, thank you, Chief. Thank you.
Yusuf, thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Sports Zone. The issues with Rivers United is a problem of ineffective management. Ten Hag needs to go back to his coaching manual on human psychology. Finidi needs to request for top friendly matches in order to get his first 11 right. Binga Shoyemi. Strongest point, we got your message. Thank you so much. My people, Nigeria football has always been in shambles since the 90s. Match fixing is well known. And what the chairman said to me is not new. Anthony Kainde Williams from Badagry.
Yeah, I just say, Nigeria football is not. We're trying to get better. Let's encourage. Let's, you know, those are strong words. You know, let's be positive. Nigerian football can do better. That's what the chairman said. When he took over, we're not rated in the top 12. Now we're like top 10. Let's work together.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good morning, Akushade.
Morning.
Malik,
how are you doing?
Oh, good. Fine. You are absolutely correct.
Yeah?
You must qualify for World Cup. Why you not for 3 World Cup? Why?
I'll tell you.
Because I said, Jack, you know, can only dabble with Gabby. You must qualify for World Cup. If you must, you do not qualify. But my problem is that here, they always bring a Nigerian coach when you qualify upon the team and time. If they lose them out of North Africa, we are out. Why do you not bring them from the onset of everything? Not go bring the Nigerian coach here between the nation that that's my problem.
Mm.
So we must qualify.
Amen.
I don't think they just call you the weather. If they say they will bind anybody, they will bind you. That's the club I bind you, Nabi.
All right, thank you for calling. Thank you. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
This is Baba Gunners.
Baba Gunners, what's your real name now?
This is Mr. Tunde Adedokun.
All right, Tunde, go ahead.
Now, my own take is, I want to beg Finidi George for one thing, and it's very, very crucial. And what is that thing? I want Finidi George to look for 2 playmakers in our league here. Because currently we don't have playmakers in Super Eagles.
True that.
We don't have playmakers. We don't have any player who can hold the ball. For now, in Super Eagles. Except you want to be deceiving ourselves. But I want you need the judge to do within the local league here, make him look for 2 playmakers and integrate them into Super Eagles.
You know, today's.
Say out of the 20 clubs in our Premier League here. There is no playmaker.
Mm. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Good morning, Sports Zone. Please, Uncle Shagun, you are criticizing Eric Ten Hag now, just like you did with Jadon Sancho. But this same Sancho left and went back to Dortmund, and he's doing wonders, performing top quality. What will you say about that, Babs from Ajah?
Babs, what has he done? You see, I don't like when people turn their opinion to facts. 5 goals and assists. What's a big deal? What? Jadon Sancho was bought for £75 million and has done nothing. If there's anything I backed Ten Hag on, is the way he got rid of that boy. I beg you, United's problem is overpaid and overhyped players. A player has collected £250,000 a week and has mental problems. Please.
Mm.
This guy had issues. Ten Hag let him go for 3 months to go and trade on his own in Holland. And then he now drew to his coach. I refuse to apologize. Please don't get me started about Jadon Sancho.
Tony from Moro says we can be positive and give moral support, but there's always that bottom line, which is the qualification. Full stop. And our final message from Emmanuel, who's listening in from Calgary, says Finidi must qualify for the World Cup. Failure to do so, he should be banned from coming close to any to any stadium in Niger. Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. That's a Calgary attitude.
Let's reward you for that. Emmanuel is probably sitting in his igloo with his hands over the fire. Calgary is very, very cold.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Mr.
Good. I mean, the day will not be complete without not hearing from you.
Producer.
The way Uncle Shegu and Femi Fawe are treating me this day. No problem.
Mr. Doctor Shaw, 30 seconds to go.
I'm sorry.
Whenever you are not in the studio, I will not call.
I'm sorry.
My take, the sanction for Yimba is too small.
Yimba?
Yes, the 2-point reduction. For you to have forced a match official to start time ban, and those who perpetrated that act are hooligans, nobody is asking for them.
All right, then.
Where are those people? So that sanction to me is no.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
And that was Cowdy that cut you off.
Yes, the early edition is back.
All right.
This is a side activity of the early edition.
What's your side activity?
I mean, are you joking?
I mean, sponsor is just
this is are you
know, this is a break.
Do you think your belt would mean anything without sponsor?
How many essays have come to your program?
How many guinea?
How many times do you have a minister of sports on your program?
Excuse you?
Yes. All you do is, if it were us, when the minister of sports was going to Maldives for his award, you'll have taken us along. That shows relevance.
Who is us? Who's us?
See the way he's lobbying. You know that's on Daji lobby.
Alright, we're done.
Can make sure you don't got another job because you'll be very smart this week. Press white shirts.
I didn't even iron this. First of all.
The press white shirts. You know, are you sure from the, you don't you zoom at 11:30 somewhere? I'm suspecting you.
Show returns again same time tomorrow. Yeah, join us then. Thank you for listening. Have a great day ahead. Goodbye.
Your favorite Lagos Talks podcasts are now available on all online podcast platforms. Simply search for Lagos Talks 913 on your preferred podcast platform. Lagos Talks 91.3.
Join the conversation.